Please rise for the pledge. Please remain standing for a moment of silent meditation. Thank you. All right, at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Graham.
Thank you, Mr. Falco. This evening, we have a number of student groups that we are recognizing. Some of those are our county championship teams, and those are cross country, winter track, and cheerleading. Cheerleading has a scheduling conflict this evening, and they have a fundraiser. So we're going to go ahead and bring them in first right now to so that they can get out to the fundraiser, and then we'll proceed with the rest of the meeting. So, Mr. Butel.
Good evening, Mr. Falco, members of the Board of Education, Dr. Graham, and members of administration. We have three very special deserving athletic teams to recognize this evening for their accomplishments. The first team that I'd like to introduce tonight is our Sachem North Varsity Cheerleading Team. I, for one, am very proud of their accomplishments this season as they were crowned the Suffolk County Champions. But really, there's no one better to talk about the team's successes than first-year head coach Danielle Grisalfi and assistant coach Jacqueline Tomaselli. So I turn the mic over to them.
Good evening, Dr. Graham, Mr. Falco, members of the Board of Education, family, and friends. My name is Danielle Grisalfi, and this is my first year as the head varsity cheerleading coach. I am accompanied by Jacqueline Tomasello, who is also in her first year as the varsity cheerleading coach. I would like to first bring out the 24 members of our 2017-2018 varsity cheerleading team. We have had the honor of coaching 24 amazing athletes for the past 7 months and could not be more blessed with all the experiences and achievements that they have had. Back in December, the team kicked off their season at UCA Regionals, which was our qualifier for the national championship. There, they hit amazing routine and placed first, winning an automatic bid to the national championship. At that moment, we knew that it was going to be a great season. During the next 7 weeks, our team competed at the Section 11 competitions every weekend. Each week, they competed against 8 teams at different locations and with different judging panels. The team placed at least top 3 at every competition with 2 first-place finishes. The team's accomplishments during the season placed them in first place for the large varsity Division I category as the regular season ended. The top 4 teams in our division were invited to participate in the county championship at the end of February. At this competition, the girls hit an amazing performance, one of their best all season, and earned themselves the title of Large Varsity Division I County Champions. This is Sachem North's first county championship win, and we could not be more proud of these girls. Their hard work and dedication all season paid off. We cannot be more thankful for all the support from our district, our families, other teams, friends, and amazing fans that helped lead us to this accomplishment. Thank you so much for this recognition, and we are forever proud to be Sachem.
Yes. Stay.
So this is, even though we're honoring a number of student groups this evening, and we enjoy doing that, we also do have some business to take care of at Board of Education meetings. So this is a part of our business, and we'll continue with the recognitions in a moment. We are this evening having our budget hearing, and this is a requirement as a part of New York State education law. And so this evening is the budget hearing. John O'Keefe and I, Assistant Superintendent for Business and Operations, along with staff throughout our entire district, have been working on the budget since November or the beginning of school, quite honestly. And now we're on this roadshow of presenting the budget, sharing information about the budget with our community groups. And this is another piece of that sharing and presenting of the budget that all of you will be asked to vote upon the third Tuesday in May.
Good evening, everyone. And I'll try to give you the Cliff Notes version of everything. All the detailed information is on the district's website, including the line-by-line budget and all the presentations that we've done starting back in January. This just gives you an overview and a timeline of what the budget process looks like. Dr. Graham said it does start back in November, and it culminates with the last board meeting on April 18th, where the Board of Education actually adopted this budget that will go before you on May 15th. So the quick facts on the budget: the proposed budget for next year is a $322,887,000 budget. It's an $8.7 million increase over the current year, or 2.77% growth over this year. And it's in line with our five-year average, which is about 2.4. The tax levy is growing a little bit higher, bless you, than our typical average. Next year's levy is proposed at $187 million. That's about $10 million more than the current levy, and that's a 5.73% increase. So the levy is growing by 5.73%, not the budget. The budget is only growing 2.77%. This is within the tax cap, and it is not piercing the cap. We do not need a supermajority vote. And as you can see, the normal tax levy increase year to year, an average for 5 years, is about 2.8%, very much in line with our budget. And I'll explain briefly why it's a different increase than what we normally would expect. This just gives you the quick facts on how we're going to fund this $8.7 million increase. We start off with state aid. That's one of our primary funding streams. State aid is actually being reduced slightly over the current year by $2.3 million. You'll read in Newsday where they'll show that table on Sunday usually. They'll show all the increases. It'll show SACHM receiving an increase of about $3 million. There is one component of that puzzle, though, they leave out. They always leave out the building aid piece. We're losing about $5 million in building aid. So net aid in hand next year will be about $2.3 million less. And I'll touch on that decrease in a few moments. The levy, like we said, is growing by about $10.1 million. And then there are other miscellaneous sources that are increasing by about $856,000. Last year, the district entered into an agreement with East and Suffolk BOCES to lease Sequoia Middle School. BOCES now has that building. They're going to continue to grow into it and take the entire building, so some of the increase is there. But another large chunk is Tecumseh Elementary School. Back in March, the board entered into an agreement with BOCES to take that building as well. They're in there now actually starting their work, and they'll open a program there September 1st. They're going to start this first year with about 60% of the building, but we anticipate over the next year or 18 months them growing into the balance of the building. So that building has been rented as well. So the total, like we said, is an $8.7 million increase. And in the bottom of the slide just gives everyone a recap of where we are with fund balance, because we know where we were a few years ago, where SACHM only had $16,000 in unassigned fund balance. As of the end of last year, we were able to grow that $16,000 to about $12.5 million, so we have reached the 4% plateau, which is the recommended level that districts keep on hand for a rainy day fund. And our total fund balance, which includes that $12.5 million, is now at $25.5 million. But we're still about $6.7 million short of the state controller's minimum threshold that they recommend, which is about 10% of our budget.
You know, for most, the $25.5 million number in reserves sounds like a rather large number. But when you look at an operating budget of $322 million, $25.5 million to have in reserves is not a large number. And we know that if the state were to restructure funding, if there were perhaps another initiative similar to the gap elimination adjustment, which was plaguing districts over the past decade or so, that $25.5 million would not be enough to help us sustain our operations.
Yeah, I mean, the simple math, a $322 million budget, it's nearly $1 million a day to run Sachem. So just look at it in that perspective of how many days of operating expense $25 million actually is. So just quickly on the tax cap, I won't spend a lot of time on this slide, and I'll show you a little bit more detail on the next. But the tax cap or the tax levy does not increase by a consistent formula in every district. There are a number of different factors that are in the formula, and this highlights those factors. You have the tax-based growth factor, which is a number we receive from the state. That tells us the growth in assessed property values within the district, whether it be new construction or if a homeowner did an improvement, a pool, an addition, et cetera. If the tax base grows, there's a factor that the state gives us that allows us to add that to the levy. The allowable levy growth factor is the part that the public has been told is the 2% tax cap. That's the one piece. It's 2%, or it's the consumer price index from the preceding year, whichever is lower. So for the past 4 years, the CPI has been under 2. 2017, we finished with 2.13, so we will have 2% in the formula next year. Our payments in lieu of taxes are pretty static in Sachem. They're about $1 million, so there's no change there. The capital tax levy, that's the component with the greatest change. That takes into consideration all the district's outstanding bond debt, the proposed capital projects in the upcoming year, and it offsets it by the building aid from the state. So next year, we're proposing $2.85 million in capital projects. That's about a $1.3 million increase over the current year. Again, we're still doing projects that are necessary. For example, in this year, we were cited by the Office of Civil Rights for the needs of a staircase at High School East, which the construction will actually start next week. And later in this board meeting, the board will be considering approving a bid that was accepted for our reconstruction of our pool bathrooms at High School North because they're not ADA compliant. Also, we started a planned cycle of replacing the school buses. They're all 15 to 22 years old, so we want to start replacing them six or so a year until we turn the fleet over. It included six buses. Next year, we're sticking with that same six new school buses, but we're also now adding to those things that we have to do. The fuel tanks at transportation are steel wall tanks. EPA requires us to replace them with fiberglass, so that needs to be done. The pool pump, the filter, chlorination system at High School North is past its useful life. That needs to be replaced. The roof at Waverly in its entirety needs to be replaced, but that's far too much for us to put in the budget this year. It would be about $3.2 million. So we're going to do a section of it and include it in next year's budget. So those are the projects. Now, in the next slide, again, I ask, you know, why is it not 2%? And I try to guide you with math in the most simplistic formula to show you the components that make up the tax levy. You start everything with the beginning levy. This year's levy is $177 million. And like we said in the last slide, you have the tax-based growth factor, which adds 0.18% to the levy, or $318,000. Then you have the allowable levy growth factor component, which adds approximately 2%, or the $3.5 million that you see there. And then the piece that has that greatest change, as we discussed, is the change in your capital exclusions. And that's adding $6.3 million to the levy. So that brings the total levy to that $187 million, that $10 million increase. Now, if we drop down below, that shows you where that 6.3 comes from. So like we said, it takes a look at all of your debt payments. So the district has outstanding debt payments on our bonds from the construction of 2004 through 2006, the building of Sequoia and East, and all of the additions and work that was done during the reconfiguration then. Some of that work was work that was bonded for 15 years. Some of it's work that's been bonded for 30 years, the new construction. That debt is still carrying out to 2033. Our debt payments this year are about $20 million. Next year, they're about $20 million, so they're staying static. The capital expenditures, like we said, are growing from $1.5 million to $2.8 million, so you are growing by about $1.3 million there. But the piece that's causing the greatest change is the building aid. Our building aid this year was about $17 million, and next year it'll be a little under $12 million. So there's a $5 million reduction in building aid. Now, it's not something that the state is doing to Sachem. The way that building aid works years ago, because it has changed since, the district would go out with a bond campaign. The community would approve the bond. You would bid the work out. When you signed the contract with your contractor, the state would start aiding you because you need the monies to pay for the work that's being done. The formula has since changed. So in current times, when you go out with a capital bond project or capital work, you sign your contract, you do all of the work, you file your final cost reports, and then the aid starts coming. So this is just really a timing issue. The aid is ending. The 15 years have come to an end. But there are still two more years on the debt. So that $20 million still needs to be paid. That $5 million in debt doesn't fall off for two more years. So the way the tax cap formula works, it has a mechanism to offset a change like this so that there are sufficient funds within the budget to pay for that debt. So that the bottom two numbers, that $4.6 million and that $10.9 million, the difference between the two is the $6.3 million. And that's the driver of why the levy is 573 this year and not like the 2.8 that we're accustomed to seeing. So, for example, if the debt this year was flat and the capital expenditure stayed flat at $1.5 million and building aid stayed flat at $17 million, that line here would be zero. And the levy growth next year would be approximately 2.18%. So that 3.55% in rough numbers is the growth because of the reduction in building aid, simply stated.
Yeah, this slide is up here so that we have a comparison of where Sachem's at. This is per pupil expenditures for Gen Ed students. And we compare ourselves often to some of the other large school districts in Suffolk County. But when you look at us up there at $10,500 per student, we are the lowest in that group, and we are lower than the statewide average. So all small school districts upstate New York, Nassau County school districts, in every region, we are the lowest. And we're proud in the respect that we accomplish great things at a reasonable cost when it comes to our students and our expenditure per pupil. But we want to continue to improve and help that number creep up so that we can continue to offer more opportunities for our students. When you look at special education students, those numbers, you replace that first digit with not ones, but threes or fours, and we still fall within the bottom quartile of that group when it comes to per pupil spending on special education students. But again, those numbers are $39,000 or $40,000.
Okay, property taxes. Obviously, we're all taxpayers, whether it's this community or any community. We all want to know what we're going to be paying in property taxes. Because unfortunately, in New York, public education in most districts is funded through property taxes. The only component of this that the taxpayer or the school district has any control over is the tax levy. That's our numbers up here on the top. So this year, we went to the voters in May of last year, and they approved a budget of $314 million with a $177 million levy. This year, we're going out with a $322 million budget with a $187 million levy. That's what you're voting for, yes or no. After that point, your property taxes are in the hands of New York State and your local assessor's office. Sachem is in three different towns, Smithtown, Brookhaven, and Islip. The state tells us how much to divvy up the total levy between those three different townships and assessor's office. So, for example, this past fall, we got a distribution table, as you see on the far right there. Now, I can only show you what the numbers are as of right now, because these numbers that divide the levy up don't actually come out until later in the fall, well after you voted on the budget. So, for example, in this year, 65.5% of the levy goes to Brookhaven, and 31.5% or so goes to Islip, and the balance goes to Smithtown. That might change slightly each year. And then the next part of the component is, you know, the only thing that the town gives us to work with is what they call an average assessed value home. In dollars, it ranges from about $300,000 on the Brookhaven side to about $340,000 on the Smithtown side. Where they come up with the average exactly, I don't know. But then they convert it into their assessed value formula, which is then how it gets dispersed out to individual taxpayers, which is why sometimes you and your neighbor will have identical homes, and there's a disparity between your bills because of the way the formula works. So from the school district side and the taxpayer side, the only part we really have any control over is what the levy is going to be next year. The dividing up of that bill is actually handled by the state and by the local assessor's office. This slide I don't expect you to see, but this is the slide that shows the very easy-to-read, simplified template that the state requires that we mail to you each year. This is the school district budget notice. This will be the notice that will go out in the mail tomorrow or the next day. It'll come to your homes. Basically what it does, and I'll just highlight it for you, in that middle column right here in the center of the page, it just highlights the current year budget, the total budget amount, and then the levy. And down at the bottom, it just tells you, you know, how does that budget break down when we want to look at it from an administrative component, a program component, and a capital component. The middle part of the slide is the proposed budget for next year. And the last component is what the contingency budget would look like. So we go to the voters in May. We ask them to vote on the budget. If they reject that budget, then the board needs to reconvene and make a determination whether they have another vote on the third Tuesday in June, or do we go straight to contingency. If we were to go out to vote again in June and that budget were to be rejected again, we have to go to contingency. And in the fine print that you can't really read, right through here in the middle, basically it outlines the simple fact under tax cap law is the levy for next year can be no more than the levy this year. So that $10.1 million we spoke about with the levy growing, and part of that $10.1 million, almost half of it, is to pay for debt that's still outstanding, I would need to remove $10.1 million from the budget. Now, I still have to pay the debt, so there are other things that have to be removed by statute. You do have to take out all capital projects, so the new buses and the roof at Waverly and the high school north pool pump and the tanks, things of that nature, by statute have to come out. All equipment needs to come out as well. So whether it's IT equipment, transportation equipment, facilities equipment, or athletic equipment, that needs to come out of the budget. And then we would start to look at things that we've added to the budget that we would call enhancements, things that are actually being added to next year's budget that aren't in this year's budget, whether it be the security guards for the elementary schools or for the middle schools or the student accident insurance, things of that nature. And then there's a formula that I have to meet where next year's budget can't have an administrative component at a greater percentage than the current year as it compares to the program component. So there's a formula behind the scenes that drives that as well, which would require us to remove about $800,000 for the administrative side and another $3.6 million in rough dollars from the instructional side. And those would be decisions that the board would have to consider to determine what those things would be. But down at the bottom, it just recaps, you know, we're still within the tax cap. Homeowners that are STAR eligible will still get their STAR exemptions, which are about $1,000 per home. And because it's tax cap compliant, you still get your tax rebate checks that come out from the state anywhere from October to early February each year.
Within the current budget, we maintain a number of our current instructional program offerings. We maintain all of our staffing levels. We will continue to, and the board has been committed to continuing to decrease class sizes. Right now we have board targets that range from 25 in kindergarten and slide up to 30 in fifth grade, and those are large, and we're decreasing those targets by one next year. That's not where we're currently living necessarily across the district. Our average kindergarten section across 36 sections in the district right now is 21.5 students. When you look at our average fourth grade, we have 24.5 students in each section, again, across 36 sections. But there are some that are at the target at 27, and then there are some that are below it. But those are the average numbers. but that's something that the district continues to remain committed to. We continue to remain committed to offering all of our college offerings, our advanced placement, our honors level courses. And I just want to be cautious with saying that doesn't mean they all run. We're continuing to offer them. And at the high school especially, oftentimes courses are determined based on student requests. So if you have a particular course that only has 10 students requesting it, that might not make sense to run that course in that given year. So I just want to be able to distinguish between the two of those. We continue to offer all of our K-12 music and art, our interscholastic athletic activities, all of our PD initiatives, and we have a number of them going on throughout the district right now, as well as our cycle of replenishing, replacing outdated computers and technology that we have throughout the district and that we need desperately. Now, as John mentioned, we also have a number of enhancements included within this budget. We are proposing to add the study of world language for all seventh graders so that our seventh graders will have the choice to take Spanish, Italian, or French. For those of you that are familiar with other school districts, this is pretty much the norm in other school districts for seventh grade. Here in Sachem, we don't start until eighth grade. As a matter of fact, in many districts throughout the island now, world languages are starting in as early as kindergarten. So we're adding this to our seventh grade offerings. We are adding 13 security guards, one for each elementary school, and an additional guard for each middle school. And we're working on developing what the function of those guards would be. Certainly it's something that we're paying a lot of attention to right now. There are very different needs when it comes to a high school, let's say, to an elementary school. Where a high school, the guards may be in the hallways and moving kids along to classes, and then if there is a fight or an event, they're breaking that up. You don't need that at an elementary school, right? So at an elementary school, the function of a guard is high visibility and reducing access to the campuses at arrival, high visibility and reducing access to campuses at dismissal, and then patrolling our campus, you know, at recess, let's say, and making sure that people aren't getting onto campus who don't belong on our campuses. Expanding our co-curricular and club offerings district-wide. We plan on adding clubs at each level of our schools throughout the district. Enhancing our funding for art and music supplies. Those are allocated on a per-pupil basis. Next year, we're going to raise that per-pupil allocation, so each building will receive more money for music and art supplies. Our supplemental accident insurance, that's something that the district stopped offering in 2013, 2014, when we were experiencing basically the financial cliff that the district had encountered. And this is something that, for the best that we can determine, we are the only district that does not offer the supplemental accident insurance on Long Island. And it's just that. It's a supplemental policy so that if something were to occur to a student while on our campus, then the burden doesn't lie necessarily solely on the parent for co-pays and those types of things. This supplements your primary insurance. Additional funding for technology throughout the district. This is something that we desperately, desperately need. And we plan on having more technology in all of our buildings, including an additional cart with devices at each elementary school. And we hope to continue to add more and more moving forward. Additional and replacement equipment for the athletic program. The athletic program has identified a number of critical needs. And then lastly, our capital projects. And again, not all of the capital projects that we're doing right now are the glitzy, glamorous ones that we'd like to do, you know, maybe new art rooms or new music or new science labs or those kinds of things. But these are critical needs at this point, things that we've been cited by the EPA for, things that we've been cited by OCR for, and these are things that have to get done within the context of this budget. And the important thing to remember here is that voting is open on May 15th. It's at all of the elementary schools that are currently open. So Tecumseh and Gatelot are not polling locations this year. Anyone who has a change in polling location will receive a postcard at home indicating that. And you may recall that in the past there have been five sort of 4x8 signs out in the district at strategic locations that remind people when the vote is and where the polling locations are. This year John's arranged to have one at every single building so that, you know, there'll be one at Tecumseh that says this is not a polling location. Please either go to the online finder and find what your polling location is or call the district clerk. And her phone number will be, Allison's phone number will be on that side. You know, you have questions about the budget, call John, call myself. You have questions about where you're voting, call Allison. So thank you all for your patience. I know a lot of you are here for an award, a recognition of your daughter now at this point, right? It's just only girls at this point. of your daughters with track and cross country. So we thank you for having patience with us as we move through this piece of protocol for a Board of Education meeting. Are there any questions
any
from
questions?
The board? Well, you know, it's, at this point, the board's now heard this, I think, probably five or six or seven times.
I have one question. The per-student expenditure that you showed, that slide,
yes,
and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, can we get that per teacher, per employee, just to see where we rank with everybody else? I don't know how you can pull it.
What sort of metric are you looking for?
You just showed how much we're spending per student.
Per pupil.
Per pupil. So
right.
I'd like to see how much we're spending per teacher. Per faculty member. I don't know.
Like the average salary of a teacher?
Not the average salary, but that's showing us how much we're spending per student. I wonder how much we're spending per teacher in the school district. Like on that one, I just said to Bill, I don't want to be COMAC. It seems like they're spending $15,000 per student, but I don't necessarily want to be the cheapest either. I want to be middle of the road. Mm. That's who we are as a community. And I want to make sure that we're not spending too much on our teachers or spending too little on our teachers. So I don't know what metric you need to use. I'm just looking for the same thing applied towards our
employees. That $10,500 includes the teachers.
It's
the instructional component for general education. So the staff is in there. It doesn't include transportation, though.
Okay.
It's just the instructional component for the transportation.
Okay. John, what types of things are included? It's not just salary within that number, though.
Yeah,
what makes
any supplies, materials, textbooks, the equipment for the instructional program.
Everything but what's not included in it.
Like capital, the facilities department, grounds, things of that nature, administration, the superintendent's office, the Board of Education's lines, the district clerk's lines, things of that nature, our debt, those types of things.
So I think it's fair to say a lot of our buildings are old, tired, our fields. I was at Sagamore today. It's a disaster. So maybe we can increase the spending per student to increase our facilities a little bit.
We're trying.
Yeah, I think it's something that's definitely a priority for us, and I'm
doing what I have.
Since John and I started here, we've been preaching about sustainability within our budgeting process. So we want to be mindful of being able to have a sustainable budget, but also addressing some of those critical needs in terms of our operations, our facilities that we've identified. You know, the board, many of the board members each summer tour the buildings with John and I prior to the start of school. And, you know, we're running around just looking at, you know, ceiling tiles and light switches and every, you know, fields and cracks in a sidewalk. And these are all things that we're identifying, and now we want to be able to get onto a cycle where we can make those improvements within the context of our budget. Anything else from the board?
Anything else?
So we'll bring in a student
yes.
group now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were good, I know. In some cases, it doesn't matter.
So now we're going to bring up Mr. Butel again, and we're going to honor Sachem East Track and Field and Cross Country County Champions.
Yes, the next team we want to recognize tonight is the Sachem East Varsity Girls Cross Country team and the Winter Track and Field team. I guess one of the really unique things about, you know, these girls in the Sachem East program is they just continue to dominate the running world in Section 11 in New York State. But again, rather than hear me talk on and on about, you know, how great the girls are and we see how great they are, Coach Coffey's going to be here with Coach Dolan to really talk about the girls' accolades. And without further ado, Coach Coffey.
Good evening, board members, administration. I'd like to first just start by bringing in all of the athletes, if we could, just because this is all about them. It has nothing to do with us coaches, because they are fantastic kids. So if the Sachem East Cross Country and the girls' winter track and field team could come into the room.
guys, the cross country and the winter track and field team all together tonight. We're still obviously all of station teams are in the midst of their spring seasons. But our cross country team this past season bounced back from losing a county title last fall. And when you make a or win a county championship and you make it to states in cross country, there's seven athletes that run on that given day in late October and make it to the state meet. But one of the things that we try to impress upon the athletes, and I think all of the girls before us would absolutely agree with us, that process starts on July 1. We have our SIAC cross country track and field camp that we get at least 60 of our athletes to, and every single athlete contributes to that state team that we produce, that they were able to produce for us. And so over the last four seasons, our girls cross country team made it to won three county titles, and therefore made it to three state championship meets, which is no small feat. I feel very, very strongly that if we did truly individually poll them and ask them, was it just those seven on that day, those seven that are up there that I could name, but we don't need to name them. They don't need to raise their hands. They don't need to be in the front right now. It's every athlete up there that contributed to that. The winter track and field season, to be frank, we won pretty handily, to be honest with you. We had a fantastic county meet. It was not that previous year. We won, and we actually sent a 4x8 and a 4x4 team. We had a couple other individual athletes go. It's the first time, though, in Suffolk County history that any team in Section 11 had two relays go to a state meet, which is absolutely a very, very, very big deal. Our seniors have been a part of, and a little into spring here, because there's no actual dual meets in the winter season, but our seniors have been a part of roughly 45 meets in the cross-country season, dual meets where you compete against one particular team, and then also in the spring season. We actually just lost our first meet. It's a little sad. I'm just a little heartbroken about it. But we lost the Longwood. Hopefully we'll get them in the county meet this year. But those athletes right now, those senior athletes, are 41-1 over the past 3.5 years in cross-country. In 11 county championship meets over the last 4 years, we have won 9 of them. We've won the 3 of the last 4 cross country, 3 of the last 4 winter. But the super fun fact that I will leave you with is winning a triple crown. There's probably a triple crown shirt in there somewhere. Winning a triple crown is winning cross country, winter, and spring track and field. There's only one other team that has ever done that in Suffolk County history. Girls track and field, I asked Coach McNeil, older gentleman, help me out a little bit there. I wasn't born yet, but it was like 77 and 78 that we figured out that that's when Section 11 fully 100% recognized, or SACHM at least, had girls winter track and field and spring track and field. So over the last 40 years, only Bayshore has won a triple crown. They have done it twice. We did it one time in 15 to 16, and well, we're here for the cross country. We're here for the winter track and field title. So maybe if we can beat up on Longwood this spring in late May, maybe we could get two triple crowns. And so being two teams in Section 11 ever to do that is a huge accomplishment. There are 9 athletes up there, seniors right now, that are going to be running in college for Towson, for Geneseo, for all sorts of teams on scholarship, which is a fantastic thing for them. We have some kids I know, like Margaret Atwood, top 20 of the graduating class, high SAT scores, scholar athlete team always. And that is the cross country winter and spring track and field team for St. Jimmy's Girls.
Keep smiling.
Take the field off three.
And congratulations to the team. Coach, we hope we have to have you back to honor the Triple Crown. Thank you.
No.
And we do have one more group that we're honoring this evening for a presentation. Capping off a series of meetings that we've had where we've been honoring community service efforts of students throughout our schools. This evening I'm going to just pass the microphone to Ms. Hines, who will be honoring Ms. Salvia and some of our Seneca students.
Good evening, Dr. Graham, Mr. Falco, members of the Cabinet, and members of the Board of Education. Thank you very much for inviting me here tonight. At this time, I would like to recognize the following students. So when I call you up, please come on up. I would like to call up Paige Brunsma, Francesca Natale, Nicholas Fischel, Abby Walsh, and Jake McGuinn. Come on up, please. Paige, Francesca, and Nicholas volunteered to help out at Grundy's Halloween Spooktacular. One of the PTA members running this event noted how these students went above and beyond by showing leadership, never hesitating to do whatever needed, taking charge whenever necessary, and helping facilitate a safe and fun event for all children. Each of these students helped out at a picture station, a bowling activity, a tattoo station, mummy wrap, beanbag toss, and ring toss. Paige, Francesca, and Nick all helped students in need, directed traffic within the building, and distributed snacks to all of the participants at the end of the night. Each of these students demonstrated excellence during their charitable work at Grundy, and they are each tremendous role models for the students they helped during the event. Abby Walsh is an eighth grade student who is a dedicated and helpful young lady. During her time at Seneca this past holiday season, she gave up a lot of her free time and lunch period throughout the day to walk around the building and take pictures of the staff members. She used those pictures to create a wonderful display during our holiday season and brought a wonderful visual during the day, during the holiday season. So we're very happy that Abby was able to help. She's a respectful, committed, an exceptionally diligent student who gives up a lot of her free time at Seneca, and she is truly a role model for her peers. Jake is a member of the National Junior Honor Society, and he has gone above and beyond with volunteering his time towards school events. He has given up his lunch period on many occasions to help out when needed. Jake helped prepare for the National Junior Honor Society induction ceremony. In preparation of the book fair, he created posters advertising the event for our students and helped display these posters around the building. During the holiday season, Jake sold holiday-themed items for the National Junior Honor Society and helped raise money for the club and various charities. Jake also assisted in the sale of tickets to the Seneca's drama production of The Wizard of Oz. He makes himself available to help our National Junior Honor Society advisors whenever necessary and is a wonderful young man who is extremely respectful and hardworking. Congratulations to all of you.
Congratulations to all of our students who are being recognized tonight. We are so proud of your efforts and all that you do for our community.
So, Mr. Falco, I don't know if I'm on a, you know, if I ran out of time for my superintendent's report, but,
no, go right ahead,
you know, we did have a number of the certificates and honoring students, and it's very exciting, and we commend all of them on their efforts, and we look forward to great things for the remainder of the school year. I also did want to take the opportunity to just let the board know that today we started our presentations from Homeland Security for our staff and faculty with regard to security and emergency situations. And we have a series of offerings for our staff that are focused on what to do in the case of emergencies. The feedback on today's session, I think, was extremely positive, and there were a number of questions and answers that continued well past the presentation. And at that time, we also reminded our staff who were in attendance that we are in the process of conducting a security vulnerability threat assessment for our school district, and that moving forward with our strategic plan for safety and security, that the findings within that vulnerability assessment would provide the framework for some of our decisions moving forward. So we will keep you all posted, especially in light. We did have a number of student incidences that gained some attention with regard to school safety and school security, and we just want to assure the community that as any of these incidences arise, we take them all very seriously, and we are doing everything that we can be doing to ensure the safety and security of our students and staff while here in our schools. And that's all I had for the superintendent's report this evening.
Thank you, Dr. Graham. Any visitors? None. Okay. We'll start business items. Bid awards. Motion, please. Bill, second. Laura, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Personnel items, consent agenda, items 4A1 to 4C6. Motion, Mike, second. Rob, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. We're up to page 6, action items. Consent agenda, action items 511 through 5113. Motion, please. Bill, second. Rob, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We jump to 10. Number 2, a CEQA resolution approval. Motion, please. Bill, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay. Budget transfers, $50,000 or greater. Motion, please. Laura, second. Sarah, any questions? Bill, go ahead.
Can we just get John to explain this to the public, please?
It's not Aaron. Aaron wants me to blame it on Aaron. Some of the items are items that we discussed at the last board meeting. I worked with the food service director and our facilities director, and we're continuing our process of changing some cafeteria tables. We've got a conceptual new design that I've shared with the building principal at High School North. So we are replacing the entire cafeteria table set at both cafeterias at High School North. That represents about $200,000 of what you're seeing. About $70,000 or $75,000 roughly. Just represents balancing some salary codes in the facilities department for substitutes and overtime after the winter season, you know, for plowing and snow removal efforts, and about $370,000 or so was a transfer necessary for retiree Medicaid Part B premium refunds. As you know, the Part B premium piece went up by 20 or so percent this year, which is much greater than what health insurance has gone up. So that premium refund to retirees who are eligible for it has gone up, and that $300,000 is needed to fund that.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. For policy reading and adoption, 411, second reading and adoption. Motion, please. Rob, second. I need a second. Dorothy. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay. 511, recommendations on a committee on special education. Motion. Bill, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Monthly reports, legislative, audit, budget, And policy, anything on any of them tonight?
I'll just do audit real quick. We're having a meeting,
Dorothy?
May 8th, right?
Correct.
Right, and then we'll update after that meeting.
That's on audit, okay.
Yes.
Nothing, you got something, Dana? Go ahead. This is on legislative.
Dr. Graham and I have been emailing back and forth, and we had a couple of discussions on the phone about the social media campaign that the legislative committee will be sponsoring. We had a few tweaks to the flyer, and we're going to, as a committee, get it out there on all the public forums that we can on our own. We're not going to use the school's social media platforms. Instead, we're going to take care of that ourselves. And we're going to have Take Action Tuesdays. It wasn't ready to go yesterday because we just got the final approval yesterday, or actually just a little while ago. Dr. Graham and I spoke before the meeting. So it will start next Tuesday for a month, and then we'll see at that point how we want to move forward, if we want to continue with that or if we want to change the message. So it'll be Take Action Tuesdays. You've all seen the flyer. There are very minor tweaks. But we're going to start promoting that on Tuesday. And we do have a meeting scheduled for May 10th. Any questions?
Okay. Any questions? Nope. Thank you, Dana.
Okay. Can I just change my mind for a quick second while I'm at the microphone? Just again, I know that I had emailed everybody and invited you to our first of two Sports Night 2.0, our new and hopefully improved Sports Night. It's a brand new event. Semi-similar because, you know, you still have to have the bones of it. About a bazillion moving parts. And I haven't slept in a couple of weeks. And if you think I'm kidding, check the times of some of your emails and you'll see that they're in the middle of the night. I hope that you'll be able to attend this Friday. It's the first one at East. Every single person in this district that has I've reached out to in some capacity has been amazing. So I just want to put it out there. Everyone from facilities and buildings and grounds and custodians and phys ed teachers and administration, everybody has been amazing. And I really, really, really am hopeful that it will be a huge success, that everybody will have a great time. We already have the money, as Dr. Graham and I were saying earlier. Ticket sales, we have $21,000. So that's 42 scholarships right there. And the rest of our money we make through concession. We're going to have an ice cream truck this year. So, you know, we're going to have at least 42. Tomorrow's our scholarship selection. So all of the applications have already been processed through guidance, and we're doing that tomorrow night. But, you know, we really couldn't do what we do without the support of everyone here on the dais in this room, but also of our faculty. They wanted a change. We heard them. We were listening. We heard what they had to say. We tried to accommodate them. I hope they have a good time. And a special shout-out publicly to the teachers' union. They purchased T-shirts for our team members. And I have one for all of you. When you come to judge, you'll get your own shirt, too. But you have to come to get a shirt. And then a very special thank you to Aaron Hines, because since July, the conversation started. Actually, Dr. Moore, you started it for a brief amount of time. And then when Aaron joined us, she took over. And as you know, this has been a million balls that we've juggled in the air, but we're ready to roll. And Dr. Graham is ready to MC the first Sports Night. I believe, Aaron, you're MCing the second one. So I hope you come. Rah, rah.
Okay. Dana, if I can just say on behalf of Dr. Graham and I, we are very thankful. I just want to also recognize our administrators, our SAA, for really putting in the time and the effort to making sure that, you know, this event was something that we had asked for you to kind of like reimagine and rethink, so that we could start really looking across our district as far as, you know, we are Sachem, which you all came up with. And we couldn't be prouder, and we're really looking forward to the event. So thank you so much for doing all that hard work for us.
Truly, it's a labor of love. This year, it's an extra labor, but it's still, the love is still there. So, but thank you to everybody.
Okay. That's it. Okay. No, any visitors? No visitors. Any future agenda items? No? Okay. yes. Okay, in fact, the budget is on the 15th. That's right. So it's before the next meeting, correct? Yep. All right, so the budget will be done here?
Yes.
Anybody, normally we used to go to the Comas. Now the budget will be, if you're here, we'll open up about 8 o'clock, I'm assuming.
We'll have to check what time the polls close. 9 o'clock.
It was at 9.
So we could determine what time this room would be open for people prior. Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be in
and
here.
And we'll put it out, yeah.
It'll get out to you. Okay, I need a motion to go into executive session for matters relating to a particular student, for sale and lease of real property, and the employment of a particular personnel. Motion? Dorothy, second Laura. Any, all in favor? Opposed? The motion is carried. Thank you for attending, and thank you for staying.